Cat in the hat.
Can we restart that? Because I knocked the mic like midway through.
Oh, right. Oh, I didn't hear that. I think we should keep this in as our intro.
No, because it's right in the middle.
Yeah, it'd be funny.
All right, fuck it, fine.
Welcome back, everybody, to Bad Film Good, the penultimate episode of the podcast, where we look at poorly rated movies and we ask the question, is this bad film good?
Yeah.
Got a message from Rosa saying, did you just start the intro? Like, why'd you fucking take so long? me and Aiden tend to sit and chat for like half an hour to an hour.
It has now been an hour since we've been an hour. Yeah.
I'm going to reply, yeah, lol. But yeah, my name is Declan.
And I'm Cat in the Hat.
We are finally here. This week we will be looking at Le Cat in Le Hat.
Le Cat in Le Hat.
By popular request from only Aiden. But before we get into what is catting and hatting this week, Aiden, why don't you tell us for the second to last time what is Shrekking this week?
What is Shrekking this week? Now, if you listened last week, expecting us to rank the Shrek 2 soundtrack. And what I could say is that we thought actually that would be quite a nice thing to end on, so we'll save that for the last episode.
Yeah,
but realistically, what happened is I messaged Deegs yesterday saying, make sure you rank the fucking Shrek soundtrack. I said, have you listened to and ranked the Shrek 2 soundtrack? And you said, I'm going to do it today.
Wait, is that what I said?
Yeah.
When was this?
At 7:25 this morning, you said, I'm going to do it today.
Come on, that's... Oh, yeah, that's before... That would have been before my COVID test. So I tested negative, so I had to go into...
All right. Yeah. So, we're going to do that next week. Look, it will be a nice thing to end on. As long as you fucking do it.
That's what I thought would be a nice. I thought it would be a nice thing to end on. You know,
me personally, I will say little spoilers into it. When you listen to the soundtrack, it will just make you want to watch Shrek 2 again. Because spoilers, that soundtrack fucking slaps every song. Bar a couple.
So we're ranking the whole soundtrack.
Yeah, there are 14 songs.
Oh, 14. Whew, I thought you said 40. I was like...
There are 40 songs and we're doing all of them. No, 14.
That's only the A side.
And you'll probably have to... If you at home want to do this, you'll probably have to go onto YouTube and find a Shrek 2 soundtracks playlist. Because I was listening on Spotify and about half of the album is now like delisted because copyright... reasons, I'm assuming.
What? Normally you can, for Spotify, then there's probably just like a playlist, right, that somebody's made and they just pull the different songs.
Because for stuff like this, so you've got like Livin' La Vida Loca, but it's Eddie Murphy's version. That's not on Spotify because I assume copyright or some shit. So,
they probably didn't put it through, like license it as a proper song or something. I mean, I don't know how the fuck it works.
So this is an article from Screen Rant. I mean, we had to end on Screen Rant. Right? Oh,
our favorite, our sweet, sweet summer child.
It says Shrek 5 should continue a casting. Sorry. Fuck me. Shrek Perfect. 5. Should continue a franchise casting trend. And then it says, Shrek is a franchise that was successful for 20 years. Net film Shrek 5 should continue one casting trend to gain even more fame. So, I will read the first little bit because it does make an interesting point. With the recent
success... Screenrant make an interesting point?
I know, right?
It really is this.
I reckon they must have stolen this from a different news website. with the recent success of Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, there is no doubt that the Shrek franchise can continue its reign, especially if one trend that has appeared throughout the franchise continues. The first Shrek movie, the Shrek 5 is a Shrek film. It's unlikely that a Shrek 5 movie would fail in theatres, but there is certainly some details that could expedite more success. For example, this is the interesting point. Bringing the franchise's original cast of, Mike Myers and all that. They've listed all of them. to get that sweet word count in.
And the get that sweet SEO.
Yeah. So, bringing back the original cast, of course. Additionally, as Puss in Boots: The Last Wish showed, Shrek 5 could delve into darker themes and topics that balance out the franchise's silly antics. I found that
that's
interesting.
That's true.
Because I did quite like that. That wolf dude is fucking scary, man.
And he's hot.
And he's fucking hot. main takeaway.
That was the main takeaway. All I ever saw, like... Obviously, I saw it in the theatres, and I was like, that's fucking sick. That's really cool. And then all I saw are fucking, like, thirst edits and stuff over this world. People are just like, it's the same as the wolf from... They're called the Bad Guys? Is that
dude.
Animated one?
Dude, it's just wolves. People like wolves.
Yeah.
It's Twilight. It's,
yeah, it's all
Shrek,
sorts.
The Last Wish.
No. Shrek the Last
Shrek
Wish.
You've
seen Shrek the Halls. Shrek the Last Wish.
Oh, God. So Shrek 5 needs to cast more big names. That's their big sweeping statement.
Right.
A significant move that Shrek 5 could make in casting some big names to appear in the film alongside the main cast. When Shrek first came out, it relied fairly heavily on its two leads, Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy, due to their previous comedic fame. However, that's a good point as well. They must have stolen this from a different news site. Because I wonder, like, Shrek is fucking gold anyway. Yeah. But I wonder if it would have been as successful initially
without the cast.
Yeah, like Eddie Murphy and Mike Myers and Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
Like those are big names. Like they're that's definitely
especially
gonna draw
at
an
the
audience.
Time.
Yeah. However, the next films began to accumulate more iconic actors and figures until a majority of the film's roles were taken by well-known celebrities. Some examples include John Cleese, Julie Andrews, Justin Timberlake,
who did he voice?
Oh, he's in number three. He's Arthur, Prince Arthur.
Oh, okay, right.
And John Krasinski.
Oh.
He was Lancelot. That's
God, I don't even remember that stuff. I don't remember the latest Shreks. Really?
No, I don't know. While the Shrek franchise films have succeeded for countless reasons, its star-studded cast has definitely made an impact. Recognizing the voices of well-known and beloved stars is a thrill for both adult and child viewers. I don't know how many children are going, oh my God, that's Cameron Diaz!
I thought she'd sworn off acting.
Yeah. Oh my God, she's back from retirement.
This is the greatest day of my... 8 years of life.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. I thought she retired because she didn't spend enough time with her family. She must have reconnected her love with her family. Yes!
I wish my parents would do that with me.
Yeah.
That's why it resonates with kids.
And then it just, you know, word count.
The
best choice for Shrek... I think it's suggesting some stuff.
The screenwriter was like,
"Oh no, no,
hey, it's DreamWorks. If you want some suggestions."
So it's saying in Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, they cast people like Florence Pugh, John Mulaney, Olivia Colman, oh no, it does give. Sorry, I'm fucking. It's giving suggestions. It is, because it was saying so. It Last Wish had Florence Pugh, John Mulaney, and Olivia Colman. Shrek 5 could have similar additions, including Nick Kroll, Ben Schwartz, Quentin Brunson, or Pete Davidson. In terms of dramatic actors, Pedro Pascal,
what
Zendaya,
Anya Taylor-Joy,
or Andrew Garfield would be exciting choices.
Like, they're just putting names in, like, to play who?
Yeah, fucking who, bro? Just throw him in, doesn't matter.
If Andrew Garfield came in as Spider-Man, then I think that would really help us out the multiverse.
But yeah, that's what is, for the last time, Shrekking from Screen Rant this week.
Ah,
good
farewell,
stuff.
The Screen Rant.
Farewell. Well, I gave you. It was weird because they had some genuine good points, but then they did Screen Rant it up by suggesting random actors.
Yeah,
just to throw.
What's the phrase? I hate to see you go, but
love it when you walk away.
Yeah, but I was trying to think of a version that's just like. But I also just don't like. I don't also look at you leaving. I don't know how the fuck is it.
I love it when you leave. Full stop.
Yeah, that's full stop. Thank you. Screaming around. Right. But the Shrekking aside then.
Getting that.
For
the
second
to
last time. This week we watched The Cat in the Hat.
Yes!
Yes! It only took him 99 episodes.
Oh, it's so good.
I think you wanted originally to end on this episode.
I did.
Right?
Yeah.
Not
you
this
were like,
episode, but on The Cat in the Hat as the 100th one.
Yeah. And you were like, no.
I was like, absolutely no fucking way we're doing that.
Oh, God. Where did you watch this?
Could I have watched it somewhere else? I watched it on Amazon Prime. Oh, but it was Paramount Plus, right?
Yes, yeah. So if you had Paramount Plus, you could have watched it for free.
I could have done a free trial, but I was like...
I don't know if you can. I only have Paramount Plus because Dad has Sky Movies. So through proxy, you just get it for some reason. I would never... I mean, apparently there's some good stuff on there, but I would never pay for Paramount Plus.
Right,
it's just like such a waste of money.
Yeah, I mean, it is. There's so many of them these days.
Yeah, literally everyone has one.
But yeah, oh, everyone in a bloody streaming service these days.
Yeah, apparently Yellowstone's quite good. You can also watch all of SpongeBob.
Hey, this isn't an ad for Paramount Plus.
So for only $6.99 a month, you can, and if you use the code BFG, you'll get 10% off your first year of Paramount Plus.
You'll get it for free.
Yeah.
Use our code.
Because they are
just
desperate.
Get it for free.
You just get it. They're like, please.
Yeah.
I watched this too. Anyway, sorry.
Good Burger 2?
Yeah, you remember Good Burger?
No.
You ever watch that? It's the one that is like it's like the guy, they work in a burger restaurant and then the guy's reading a thing and he goes, I know some of those words.
Okay, right.
And that's all I know about it. Anyway,
fair enough. Continue. Anyway, so I watched this on Amazon Prime. Which describes this cat in this hat movie as being they put some work into this one. It says, it starts with two kids on a cold, cold, wet day. Their mum is at work and they've no games to play. Then in walks the fun in the form of a cat who pulls out the laughs from the brim of his hat.
That was fucking gold. I wrote that. Yeah.
You wrote, so, you broke into the to the studio and you wrote that.
Because I seem to be the only person on this planet that loves this film.
Which is why, Aiden, before you do your little bits of info and stuff, I just want to clarify that I tried my best watching this movie to view it as a horror movie, which I heard somebody say at some point.
That's stupid. That's wrong. No.
I have some interesting points. But let's hear a little bit about the movie.
That doesn't work. Because then you'd just have... If he was the fucking nun, the nun would just be, like, going around with the protagonists. Being like, "Ayo, what's up? What are we doing now? We're going to go to a barbecue?"
I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Anyway. So it's made in 2003. Directed by Bo Welch, who's very interesting, which we could talk about later. It stars Mike Myers, Alec Baldwin, Kelly Preston, RIP, Dakota Fanning. Kelly Preston is, John Travolta's wife, and she died of brain cancer, I think.
Oh shit.
Yeah, sad. Very sad. Dakota
this
Fanning.
Is not the last thing she did.
Hey, fuck you. I will throw hands, dude. And Spencer Brilson, or Breslin, sorry. It had a budget of 109 million. No, he wasn't in this.
You should have saved that for the last one.
It had a budget of 109 million and it made
109 million.
Yeah, dude, look at this set. It made 133 million. This has 4.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 10% on Rotten Tomatoes. Ooh. And 19 Metal Critics liked it.
Oof.
Savage. Absolutely savagery. Savage. And wrong. And wrong. Complete well. Wrong. Okay, so I need to give context as to, like, why I love this film so much. Like,
I'm genuinely very interested to know.
I love this film anyway.
You have a tattoo of this fucking cat in the hat.
I do have a tattoo.
That is on your body forever.
Yeah, and I have zero regrets. Absolutely none. I saw the freeze frame of my tattoo, and I was like, ah, yes. So, I love this film anyway. I always liked this film. And then I liked it more because of, like, the meme of, you know, with the baseball cap, you know, where he's holding up the bat about to hit that kid in the fucking head.
There's a couple of different, like, moments that I recognize from hearing them used in, like, as a sound or whatever.
Yeah, there's, like, it's something magical and full of wonder.
Yeah.
And he just whips out his cock instead. That's fun. But the thing that sent this into overdrive of me, like, loving this film is that at uni, we used to have to do, I want to call it extended project, but it's not. Did you have to do this? It's like learning how to write stuff and be good at writing dissertations and all this bollocks.
Just where you have essays to do.
Yeah, but there was a lecture with Mark, was his name?
Yeah.
Maybe. So it was like it was quite a small uni that we went to, but you'd come together. So all the animation students, all the film students, all the sound students, everyone would come together in your year because the year was tiny. It was like 40 people at most. And you'd be sat in the lecture hall and this guy would be talking to you about how to put references in your thing. Yeah,
I remember that stuff. Yeah.
So no one listened to these whatsoever. So at what? So one lesson, I was sat at the back or nearer the back, and then someone at the front I think because we were laughing about it, because it would have been around the time that the baseball bat was being a meme. Someone started watching Cat in the Hat. And then, so someone obviously saw this, and then like the next row up, someone else started watching Cat in the Hat. And then a few other people saw this, and then they started watching Cat in the Hat. And then, so like, I'm sat at the back, and I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll watch Cat in the Hat. And then like, everyone of the rows watching Cat in the Hat. So at a certain point during this like 2 hour lecture, there's about 16 different people all watching Cat in the Hat at slightly different points in the film. And from then I was like, this is the greatest film of all time.
Oh my god. So it's not even anything to do with the film.
No, I love this film anyway. Dude, when I clicked on Paramount Plus and I was like, I typed in Cat in the Hat, it said resume watching and I was already an hour in.
Yeah.
Nice. I fucking love this film.
So how long did it take you to finish?
No, I default to this. I must have seen this at least 20 times.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's kind of like where it stemmed from, where it's grown to. But I maintain that this film is fucking great. But I'll let you have your piece.
I mean, the thing is, are we ready to? Should we get into some?
Let's get into it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a lot to like savage this movie with. I think I was kind of watching it from like. Less of a oh my god all the things that are wrong with this, but just all the sort of funny points that I found, or stuff that I found specifically to annoy you because I knew that you'd be like no.
There's lots of I kind of just wrote down all the greatest funny bits, and there's a long list of them.
But I mean, my first note is, I'm going to watch this as a horror movie.
That's I'm so angry at you for doing that. Because it just doesn't... That's such a cynical, like... If you watch it for a horror film, then it's bearable. No. And it's like, it doesn't even fucking work as a horror film.
Yeah, I know.
It's like exactly that one scene where it's like... It's like you take that one scene and go like... Oh, it's that was a bit spooky. If he was like a demon or something, then that would have been out of a horror film. And you're like, so I'll just watch the entire film like that then.
Well, the thing is, like, I wasn't able to because...
No,
because
it doesn't work!
Yeah, I know. But that was my initial point. That's why I was like, I'm going to try and watch this like a horror film. But there really isn't, like, the most that I could understand that... It wasn't... Wherever I heard that point wasn't a thing of like, oh, it's not like, you know, Signs, the Shyamalan fucking, how do you say it?
I know of that.
The M. Night film.
It. Yeah.
Well, that's the one that I first heard this sort of thing from, where they're like, oh, the film's really shit, but if you look at the film as it's all in his head, then actually it's really good. Apparently. But like, so... It wasn't that, whatever it was that I heard about, like, oh, watch it as a horror film, it was just like a funny thing of like, if you watch it through, then you're like, oh my god, you could interpret this as a horror film.
Okay, but, I take my anger back.
Yeah, it wasn't like it's only bearable if you, no.
Okay.
But the only thing I could find is that I've got a things, it's from when they first meet the cat. And I just put, oh my god, the cat is inescapable. He's taunting them. He's luring them in like the Candyman. Because he is. They're trying to get away from him. And he's just like, ooh, kids, hey, look at me. I'm a funny cat. Ooh, do you want a candy? He's got that kind of vibe.
I love the bit where they're like screaming and running, they're like, he's kind of like chasing them around the house, and then like they hide under the bed,
and he's just there already.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I like this hiding place much better. It's more comfortable. And then he just goes like, scream and run. And then they just fucking get up and run. He's like, just like shrugs to the camera.
Yeah.
It's very
Mike Myers.
Yeah. 100%.
Unapologetically Mike Myers.
I reckon the more you watch this film, as in each time you watch this film,
each time you strap me down with my eyes open.
Yeah. With the little matchsticks to keep your eyelids open. it gets funnier because there's so much of just like Mike Myers subtle one-liners or just like Mike Myerisms,
yeah,
that are just so good. It's so unbelievably good. I will say, on a separate point, which is what I was saying about the Beau Welch. Oh, should I just give a like quick 1 minute breakdown of the story, because there's not much to it.
Yeah,
I mean, if
you've
read the fucking book, then you know what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the Conrad is a mischief maker, and Dakota Fanning is a rule.
Sally, I think her name is.
Loves rules. Yeah, Sally. There we go.
Yeah.
they live in a perfect town, and their neighbor is banging their mum, who's Alec Baldwin. And spoilers.
The mum's Alec Baldwin.
The mum's Alec Baldwin, and the neighbor is Kelly Preston. So Alec Baldwin is, spoilers, a piece of shit, and you can kind of tell that from the start. And he's like, "Fuck this kid, send him to military school."
I did have another note that said, "Oh no, the horror film is that Alec Baldwin's going to shoot them."
No,
I know. Look, poor taste.
What's that?
Poor taste.
Was that?
That was my note.
Was that? Ah, we don't have to go into it. Let's not.
No, let's not. Let's actually. Yeah, let's move away from that.
The mum's like, "I've got a big thing at the house, and you guys are pieces of shit. So if you fuck up the house, I'm going to lose my job, and I'll send Conrad to military school." So they're like, better not fuck up the house. But then the cat shows up and he's like, "Nah, you guys suck. You, Conrad, you need to learn to stop being a piece of shit. And Sally, you need to learn to have fun." So then the house gets
and
wrecked.
And stop being a piece of shit.
And stop being a piece of shit. So the house gets wrecked, like through various different ways. And the dog escapes. There's a big crate where the thing one and thing two is, and it's leaking into the house, turning it into the fourth dimension. So they're like, right, let's learn lessons by finding the lock that was on the crate, but Conrad fucking nicked or whatever and put it on the dog. And we'll work together whilst Alec Baldwin chases us because he realizes oh no, we said we wouldn't.
No, I lied.
Sorry,
it's only a fake gun.
Stop it!
sorry.
So bad.
I know it is. It is bad, but it's also funny.
And then they're like, "Oh shit, you've learnt your lesson, but the house is trashed." And the cat's like, "Oh yeah, sorry. Lol, JK, I'll fix the house." And
Alec Baldwin's literally like, "Oh, I'm gonna bounce."
We get to that. You know the story. It's Count the Hat, man. But yeah, I maintain that this is one of the best set designs I've ever seen.
It is crazy. It's very, very stylized and very, very looks very good.
Yeah, because there's very minimal CGI or animation
until a point in the movie.
What you mean
when the boxes spilled everywhere and then
no, most of that is practical, dude.
Really?
Yeah,
because there's shots where it's like that opening bit of the house and then all the stuff where it's gone all fucky, and then like the
oh yeah.
I'm just saying, like, bits like that, like, you there, have kind of a section.
Yeah, there's animation, but they... You can probably hear my tummy rumbling. But
I didn't.
Yeah, it's the amount of practical stuff is mental. And it's because Beau Welch, the director, is a production designer. That's what he is. And he works a lot with Tim Burton, which makes sense. So he did Batman Returns... He did Beetlejuice. He did Ghostbusters 2. Edward Scissorhands, which is very this.
See, I felt like
Men in Black. Thor. He did Thor, which is less this.
Yeah, this is very this. this. The bit where the Cat in the Hat comes in and teaches Thor magical lessons.
Yeah.
But do you know what? Cause I was thinking, my brain, like, I didn't ever. Like, engage the thought and think, what style does this actually look like? But passively, I remember I was kind of like thinking about the fact that the style looked sort of familiar and this sort of thing. And of course, it makes sense, like, that kind of style that's in a lot of like Burton things. And of course, that makes sense. And it's
Guy's like an auteur of production design, I feel. Like, it's all very this. Which I love. I love Burton's production design. So
One of the little guest lecture, and I say guest lecture, but we were literally in one of those small little side rooms in uni. but we had a guest lecture from the guy who he like designs like the Batmobile and shit Burton's movie and stuff.
That's cool.
He came in and spoke to us. It was like one of the very few things we ever got like that.
It wasn't Beau Welch, was it?
I don't think it was.
Could you imagine?
I could search Beau Welch. Let me search. I feel like he would have been like, oh, also I directed Can.
And I did Beetlejuice and Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not this guy. He's a much... He's 71, to be fair, but no, it wasn't him.
No. Okay.
Some other guy.
So, it's funny stuff. Let's just get to the fucking stuff. Because there's so many quotable lines from this. Some of them I'm just like, that's just silly, but it's great. Some of them are so fucking subtle. You're like, yes! Because, so one of them is... Had you seen this before?
Like, when I was young. Did you remember anything about this movie? Other than I remembered... It was a weird thing. I remembered... what the boy actor looks like. When I was in like Cubs or something, there was a kid who I remembered looked like him, kind of. And it's just one of those weird things that you like have a memory of as a kid. I remember thinking that he looked like him and that his hands always smelled of like really strong soap. And that was all I remember. Okay. I don't know. I just remember because anytime you had to like do a game where you've all got to like, I don't know, make a wall or something and hold, and it, I don't know. I was always just like, this kid's weird and his hands smell of soap. That's all I remember. And that was my connection to Cat in the Hat. So I don't remember much else.
I wondered if you remembered the, it's like the mum's boss is like a germaphobe. And like right at the start, there's a new guy starting and he shakes the Humberflube's hand. Yeah. Mr. Humberflube. And
because the town has COVID.
Yeah.
Because they were bringing in all that hand sanitizer.
Yeah, all that
hand sanitizer. And I was like, oh shit, they got the handy sand.
And the guy shakes his hand and he goes, fired. Yeah. And I was like, That is a line that I remember way back.
That's a staple memory.
That's a staple memory. Yeah. But, like, there's stuff...
Yeah, that guy went hard for, like... He was, like, not in it much, but he just went hard for what he was in.
He also... Which I didn't say his name in the cast list. That's weird. But he also voices the fish. So he's got a double role.
I see.
Yeah. I have to try and find his name quick. Actually, it doesn't matter. I don't care.
Fishman.
Fishman. Yeah, there's stuff like, so the mum's like laying down the rules. She's like, look, this is important. Don't fuck this up for me. And she's like, no going in the living room. No fucking up my dress. No doing anything. And then she's like, Conrad, no answering the phone saying City Morgue. And then,
oh, right.
And I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. But then during the musical number, and yes, there's a musical number, and yes, it fucking slaps. The cat's like, because the cat comes in and he's like, hey, do you want to be boring or do you want to have some fun? Like, and then they're like, oh, yeah. Sorry,
the,
dude.
The fish is like opposing all of this because the fish can now talk.
Yeah, fish can now talk. And he goes like, he's like, oh, look, there's ways to fix your brokenness. Like, Conrad, you're a bedwetter. Because he's got this thing that scans them and it's like
dial. He's a rule breaker.
He's a rule breaker, yes.
Not a bedwetter.
But it drops down. It's like, she's a control freak and he's a rule breaker. But when he scans Conrad, it like drops down to the bedwetter. And the guy's like, and Conrad's like, tap the dial. And then Mike Myers is like, I can tap it as many times as you want. It ain't gonna change. but he's like, look, we can either give you a series of painful shots and that'll fix you up, or we can have some fun during a musical number. And then the Dakota Fanning's like, how many shots? And but it's just, it's this stuff. It's like, so the kid will say something, and instead of just being like, that's the joke, she said, how many shots? Mike Myers will turn to the camera and go, how many shots?
Yeah, I do like them. Like most of the Mike Myersian things that he does in this movie. I think the one thing that wasn't like I was like, oh, fuck off or whatever. But it's just when he does the oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that's very kiddie, isn't it?
It's very, yeah, but I'm sure that he's done that in other stuff. I'm sure that I've heard him do that sort of, like, it's a very Mike Myers kind of thing. And, like, he'd always do it, and I'm like, oh, fucking shut up.
Yeah, I'm not so hot on that. But I like the,
The dinner bell! Gracing us on the penultimate episode. Aiden, please, tell us. What is on the menu this week?
Fish and chips.
Oh, yes, a fucking British lad he is. Get some fucking fish and chip down, you lad.
But yeah, there's another one that he keeps doing, but I like this one, and it's when it'll be like, so they'll be like, who is this humongous cat? And he'll be like, I prefer the term big boned, thank you very much. Harumph. And he'll just he'll fold his arms and he'll go, harumph. And I'm like, I like that one. I like that.
Yeah,
that's good.
Just a few times, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, when he's doing the musical number, that's what I was going to say. He goes, the song fucking slaps. He's doing like a Zumba thing. He's got pineapples on his head. It's crazy. And then the fish goes like, the cat is currently in violation of, and then like counts in his hand and he's like, 17 of your mother's rules. And then the phone rings, the song goes quiet, and then the cat picks up the phone. He goes, City Morgue. And then he's like, 18. Yeah. And it's just that stuff. Like, the callbacks, the subtle jokes. It's just something about it. It just, like, it's funnier than you think it is.
Yeah, it's a whole play kind of playing out in front of you. Like,
do you know what?
All the different pieces and...
It feels like... I went to go see Mrs. Doubtfire, the musical, and it was genuinely amazing. Would recommend. Like, yeah. So funny. It feels like it's a musical where they do, like, the cheeky, like, wink and nod to the audience. It's, like, the clever callbacks, the clever, like, the one-liners, the clever jokes and stuff. Mm. It feels very theatre, and I think that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
But now slag into it.
No, I don't have things to, like, slag off about the film itself. Like, I think the film itself is fine. I didn't find, like, I wasn't, like, really laughing loads at stuff. Like, there was lots of bits where I was like, oh, I get that, that's, like, a funny thing or whatever. Like, I wasn't, like, I'm definitely not as into it as you are, but I can see the appeal of why you're so into it. You know what I mean? Like, I understand.
Again, I genuinely think it. If you watch it again and again, every time you'll like it more than you did the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and I know that's stupid. It's just like, you just got to keep watching it over and over again. But if we, no, if we, like, if I yeah. came round and we were like, let's watch it again, I think you would like it more the second
yeah,
time.
Yeah, probably. I think so. But there's one bit that I wanted to ask. What the fuck was this joke? I didn't understand what they did. It was so left field, and then they just never mention it again. Where they have... So they've got a babysitter that comes round because the mum has Kwan. To come back and work. Mrs. Kwan. And, you know, she's very, like, caricature babysitter kind of... I knew that she'd be wacky in some sort of way, and it's the kind of it's hilarious. The wacky thing where she just immediately, like, falls asleep yeah. after putting it on the TV. And on the TV, you're watching people in, like, a government like room fighting each other, and then somebody turns around and they're like, "It's the Taiwanese like government or something," as if that makes sense. And you hear them like, "Yeah." Yeah, like karate each other, and I was like, "Bro, what?"
I believe. Understand. That clip is an actual thing that happened in the Taiwanese government. Because the whole thing, like, Taiwan is like it's I could get in trouble here.
You know how it bloody is.
it is recognized as a I believe by the UN it is currently not recognized as its own state, and that it's recognized as China. It's the big island off the coast of China. It's a very Hong Kong situation, but a bit further forward. So, like, I have a friend from Taiwan, and I think he has a Taiwanese passport, but he can't use it because nowhere recognizes it.
I always find that phrase funny as well. Recognize, like, somebody will pick it up and be like, "What is
what
this?
The fuck is this?"
I don't know what that is. Don't recognize it.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's like a legit thing that happened, and then they've obviously just put like, "Hurry up!" like action sound.
It was just so out of nowhere. I was like, I don't so understand funny. It. I don't get it.
Yeah. There's so much in this that's just like.
Yeah.
It's just so out of pocket humor. Like, it's just. I don't know. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the fucking. The bit where he's like. It's with Mrs. Kwan, and she's asleep on the sofa. And he goes, like, he goes into the living room. They're like, "We're not meant to be in here." And he's like, "Well, this is the lumpiest couch I've ever sat on. Who is this dreadfully uncomfortable woman?" And he's just, like, sat on her, bouncing around. It's just like, man.
And she sleeps through the whole thing. He, like, puts her on a coat hanger and hangs her up in the closet.
And he opens it up again. You see her and he just goes, "How you doing?" It's so good. Oh god, there's like the best bit that I'll explain where my tattoo comes from. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
If I've shown you it,
I'm sure I've seen it because it's
on
is
my
it on
leg.
Your leg.
Yeah, it's like
I'm sure I've seen it.
you know, the like a quote unquote like white girl line tattoo thing? It's not white girl really, but it's like the classic thing where you'd have like, it's like all one line all joined up, so it'd be like a hand, but it's all like,
it's like a stencil kind of.
Yeah so I have that style, but it's in the cupcake bit where you've got the TV presenter in the jumper and the wig like pointing. Right. So he's just like pointing off to the side. I fucking love the cupcake bit. That is hands down the best bit in the film. It's the bit. Do you remember this bit?
Which bit was it?
So,
cuz he does a,
so he goes like, yeah, he's like, they signed the contract at Something Magical,
which was another thing. That was the bit when he put the contract out. I was like, he wants their souls. This is it. He's sizing them up. He wants, like, he had this machine that he puts on their heads, and I was like, he's sizing them up. He wants their souls. And then he got the contract out, and I was like, bro, he's trying to get them to sign away their souls.
Oh, but he's so good.
He's the candy man.
They're like, so we just, all we have to do is sign this contract. And he's like, yep. And nothing bad's going to happen? Nope. And then, like, when they're like contemplating it, it like cuts to him and he's like suggestively smiling at them, like waving the pen, and just like, oh, it's so good. Now the cupcake bit is like, he's like, oh, let's fucking make some cupcakes, and then it just turns into one of those like infomercial TV programs. So you've got like the presenter, and he's like introducing this British chef, like Cat. So they're both the Cat in the Hat, but like the presenter's like, all the way from Cheshire, England, it's. And then the guy is like, me, hello. And he's like from the north. But the best bit is like, he's like, you can make anything into cupcakes. Anything. And then he goes, I'll get you, and I'll make it look like a bloody accident.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Which only at the time, obviously, it, not so much later in the film, at the time, that lended more into my theory. I was like, see, he has dark and ulterior motives.
He does. I mean, because later on, he keeps saying this. They're like, oh, we've got to get the dog. And he's like, yeah, we've got to get the dog. We gotta search and destroy this dog. Rescue the dog. We gotta rescue the dog.
And also, when they talk about what to do with Alec Baldwin's character, he's like, we could murder him. And they're like,
No, it's like, they go, they're like, oh, we've got two options. We either rescue the dog, get the, and save the day, or everything's fucked and we go to military school. And then he goes, there is... And he's got like a shitty keyboard. He's like, ding ding, a third option. But it involves ding ding ding, murder. They're like, what? And he's like, nah, I was just joking around.
Yeah, he's like, I just wanted a third option. I was like, no. He wants to murder. He wants their souls. I mean, he assaults the girl at one point. Do you remember that? When it's before they do the signing of the contracts, like, she's being a little shit or something. And then he just whips around and hits her with his tail. And she
he keeps doing that. And then, but then later on, he does it to Conrad, but she like ducks under it and then gives him, they like share a little look as in, got me.
Yeah.
So good. But, and like the fucking dog where they're chasing after the dog and it goes to the party that like Sally was too uptight to get invited to. So she's like, oh, I've learned a lesson. But it's like, they see the dog, and he goes, all right, Nevins, time to die. And that's where you get the dirty hoe joke.
Oh, just yeah.
Comedy gold. He's like...
Oh, and also, in the club, Paris Hilton is there.
Oh, yeah. Shit, Paris Hilton just turns up randomly, and he's
literally
like,
for one shot.
Yeah.
It's like, that was such a random, like, I had to, because obviously Risa was, like, sat next to me while I was watching it. And then I was like, but Paris Hilton? That was Paris Hilton. She's like, what? And I put it back. I was like, look, that's Paris. And he's just in the club, and he goes to walk through, and he catches his eye, and he goes, ooh, and it's just Paris Hilton looking at the screen dancing, and then it's never come back to at all.
Yeah,
it just carries on going.
It's so good. It's because they open up a mailbox to like run away from Alec Baldwin because they've nicked the dog back. Alec Baldwin finds the dog.
Yeah, he's like the worst as well. It's the whole thing where he's pretending to be this suave like businessman, whatever, but actually he's like the worst like
grub. He's just a grub
of a man, like manipulative, and like he clearly doesn't actually have a job, and he's just got the ultimate riz. Yeah, the repo men just fucking take his shit away and all this kind of stuff. And he's trying to marry, I guess, into money with the woman?
I guess so.
But she seems to be doing well.
There's a bit where he like takes off his waist trainer, and it just comes out with this like disgusting like rubber beer belly.
Yeah.
It's like massive, and he's like fingering the belly button going like, ugh.
Yeah. It's so gross. Yeah, because he's got like a beer belly, but it's a beer belly that goes like outwards like a normal beer belly, and then also has like two separate like side bits that go outwards as well. And it's just like super hairy and gross.
They've just made it as disgusting as possible.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. They do the Dirty Ho joke is a classic, which I feel like if you're listening and you've seen this maybe like, I don't know, 15 years ago, you probably remember this joke because it's where he's like, all right, Nevin's time to die. And he's holding a hoe, like a garden hoe. And then they're like, fucking get on with this shit, cat. Like, let's go. And he's like, Dirty Ho. And then just throws it down. And then it, like, flips back up. And he's like, I'm just joking, baby. I love you. And then, like, starts making out with it.
Stupid.
It's just good.
We've said it already, but it is just so unapologetically Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff that he does. But I did like one of the bits where they think everything's fucked. I think the mum is going to go home with like Alec Baldwin's character is like convincing her like, we need to get back to the house because the kids are going around with a talking cat, like, believe me, this is real. Conrad is like, it's all fucked, like, you know, why do I always mess everything up and do the opposite of what I'm told to do, blah blah blah. And he's like in the middle of learning his lesson, and then he's realizing what he can do to fix it at that time, and in the background the cat's just like, as if he's like a conductor kind of behind him, just like, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's getting it. And whatever. Yeah. So like, you know, you kind of get like, I was like, maybe he's not gonna kill them and take their souls.
No.
Maybe this is all part of it and he does at the end. But I tell you what though, going along with the horror film element, the fucking Thing 1 and Thing 2 are terrifying.
They are
so unnerving.
I will say I'm a bit biased because you definitely settle into it after the 20th watch. But
the Stockholm syndrome really washes over you.
Yeah, but it's the Cat in the Hat. I know some people hate his design. I think it's good.
Right.
Thing 1 and Thing 2 have that Whoville from The Grinch, like Jim Carrey, The Grinch film. And I know, like, they are just, it's that nose that's like uncanny, and it's just, it gets
uncomfortable.
You. Yeah. I'm on board with you for that. You and definitely start to lose it. And it's the way they talk as well.
It's the way they talk, but most importantly, the way they move. And it's freaky because they sort of have them as like a sped up
kind of thing, and they're always like doing cartwheels around the place and doing weird shit and whatever, and they just, they're very, you're like, I feel like these things would eat you in the night, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're a bit unsettling, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, they, you know, they do the thing, they find the dog. They, oh yeah, they get to the house, and Alec Baldwin catches up with them, and then that bit's a bit horror filmy. I think someone made a fake horror trailer for Cat in the Hat, because I remember
that might be where I like heard the thing from or something, maybe,
because I remember seeing the like this bit in the trailer, and he's like, Alec Baldwin is like sneezing or something. When they've gone in, he's allergic to cats, and he's like,
he sneezes.
He's like, "Oh, you've brought that damn cat back." When this is when they've got back to the house and everything's fucked, but you don't know that yet. And he goes like, "Oh, you brought that? Is there a cat in here?" And then, fucking the cat taps him on the shoulder. Alec Baldwin slowly turns around, and then he's like, "That'd be me." And then just fucking pushes him off the cliff.
Well, he kind of, I think he boo. I think he gives him a boo.
Oh, yeah. He goes, he boo! Goes back, and then, yeah. And then Alec Baldwin like falls back, and it's like he tears down a green screen, and behind it, because the house looks all normal, but behind it, it's all fucked. But yeah, I mean, just a couple of other funny bits that I'm like, because most of my notes were like, jokes that I just hadn't caught on to before. Like there's one where he goes like, it's when he's telling Conrad not to open the crate because it will fuck everything up.
Yeah.
And Conrad's like, but why? And he's like, it's from my universe. Like it's from my world.
It's a doorway into my world.
It will mess everything up. And then Conrad's like, but it says made in the Philippines. And there's like a little just made in the Philippines tag on it. And he's like, yes, but not that Philippines. And then he just sort of like awkwardly looks to the camera. And I was like, that's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Yeah. And one more. It's when, which isn't one I just noticed. This is a classic. But it's like when they fucking, they've done the cupcake thing. There's like purple slime everywhere. And they're like, you've got to fucking clean this up, Cat. And he's like, yeah, no worries. I'll just get something. And he gets their mum's dress that she was going to wear to the party tonight or whatever. And he starts rubbing, like cleaning up the green, the purple slime with the dress. And they're like, you've ruined mum's dress. And he goes, honey, it was ruined when she bought it.
That's Mike that, Myers. Like, triggered that in my brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where I was like, I remember this.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, we haven't really talked much about the plot, but that's kind of, unless you've got anything else.
I
mean,
I think we've really
say.
Covered the plot, like, in just what we've said. Like, I think it's it's not really, again, the film is more about the crazy shit that happens in it rather than the plot of, like, they have to go and get the dog and come home.
Yeah. But I know something notable, which should easily change your opinion on this film to being
instantly hated
to this is the greatest film of all time. They end with a fucking, well, they don't end, but they have a Smash Mouth number, dude, and it fucking slaps.
Yeah. Wait, which one was it?
It's like,
I don't remember.
Things are gonna get better. It's better all the time. And it's when he's cleaning up the house.
Oh, right. I thought you meant like the credits or something.
No.
When he's cleaning up the house. I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they were doing
Smash Mouth.
I thought it was going to be like just a silly, oh, everything just poof changes, but it's literally like, no, they, every single piece of broken house, they like re-plaster everything and they like fucking polyfiller shit and sand it down and all this kind of stuff with this machine that he's got, and tidy everything back up. And then at the end, he's saying something to them and then he's like, you know, we clean everything up and we even managed to get an upbeat musical number in for the
ratings.
Know, for the ratings or something yeah. like that. Yeah.
yeah. It's just, oh, man, you and just also, don't know how good it is.
Yeah.
But if it's not bad film good, then you just don't know what you're watching. You just don't get it, man.
You just, it's like Rick and Morty, man. You've got to have an IQ of at least 200. But yeah, no, I do think if we're going to do bad film goods,
yeah.
I would say bad film good. I would
yes!
Like I don't think like cuz I don't think it's a bad movie. I didn't like intensely enjoy it as much as you did, but I'm like, yeah, this is fun. This is, you know, this is, it's a good film. It's a fine film.
I just feel like people, like when I'm like, I fucking love Cat in the Hat and people are like, are you fucking joking? Why? It's because they've got like, they just don't remember how funny it is. Like, and like, sure, like the mic, I feel like the Mike Myerisms are something that you either you get what the joke is, but it doesn't make you laugh, or it's like that's what you like the bits where he goes like he'll just go. The kids will say something, and he'll just go, "Oh, look at you! You're adorable." And like, you know, like try like pretend to bite them because they're so cute or whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, I fucking love that shit.
It is kind of. I feel like Mike Myers is definitely a Marmite kind of actor.
Where I think
you either really like, because one of my friends, who also went to our uni, James from the year above, he hates Mike Myers. He cannot stand his kind of comedy. It just doesn't meld with him. He can't, like, he hates it. So I could well imagine he would stay well clear of this movie. And that is kind of, I think that is a big element to it. Like, because he's such a kind of a driving force in this film, because it is about the Cat in the Hat. Like, if you don't, that's sort of like a very foundational, like, base thing. If you like his humor or if you don't like his humor will literally depend on whether you like the movie or not.
It is interesting because I'm not like with I feel like with Adam Sandler, like, we've watched a whole range of different quality of Adam Sandler films.
Oh yeah.
But I always love a Sandler film. I like his humor. I think it hits with me different. And I think there's just some sentimental, it doesn't matter how bad it is, it's got Sandler in it, so I like it.
Yeah, there would be an element of that, yeah.
I will say that I'm a bit Marmite with not Marmite, I guess. I don't know. But I am a bit like that with Mike Myers, because it's not like everything but Mike Myers does I love. It's like, obviously, Shrek's a bit different. I wouldn't call that a Mike Myers thing. Wayne's World is great. This is great. But some of his other stuff... Oh, I'd say this is great, and Austin Powers is great for me.
Yeah.
Wayne's World and, like...
Oh, don't do that to me.
Wayne World's in between, actually. Because I've watched it maybe twice or something.
Right,
Like,
I love Wayne's World.
See, that's interesting. Such a great... I feel like it's all Mike Myers, but sometimes it hits with you and sometimes it doesn't. Like, it released that fucking he had that Netflix show not that long ago.
Mm.
It was like Do you remember we did like an article about it because he dressed up as Shrek in one of it? One of the episodes.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I watched some of that and I was like, I cannot stand this. This is awful.
Yeah.
So I really think it's just like...
That is true.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
But it's just... I think it depends on the environment around.
Yeah. And also the degree to like... Like Wayne's World and stuff. He is very... It is kind of like a... Like Cat in the Hat is a more turned up version of him.
Yeah.
Being like throwing everything in and whatever. Which is a little bit more... Austin Powers is maybe a slight step under...
That,
but and then Wayne's World is definitely underneath that because it's a bit more sort of like paced and it's a bit different. But I agree with you. I do think generally either way, whether you really like how you feel about Mike Myers would definitely have a big impact on this movie. Like if you really like him, then you'll be more inclined to like it. If you really dislike him, then you're probably just going to hate the movie.
Yeah. I feel.
Which you don't get with lots of actors.
I feel like it's interesting because I feel like, I mean, this film famously killed live action Dr. Seuss films. They were like, nope, never again.
Yeah.
But the Jim Carrey's a bit like that, I feel.
Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
Either
that's very
like
true.
Jim Carrey and his weirdness, or you like cannot stand Jim Carrey.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway,
Well, you didn't give your bad film.
Oh, bad film, all right.
Yeah, there we go. Bad film mid.
No, please let me tell you something. That's about everything. Next week is the very last episode,
very final one.
And
apart from I guess by this point the Christmas.
But you just had it. Oh, Merry Christmas, right? By the way.
Yeah.
And Happy New Year. First of New Year.
Crazy.
Yeah. How was your New Year's, dude?
Man, I tell you, it probably has been fine.
Mine was crazy, dude. It played out exactly like the plot of this film.
Damn. What country are you in now?
I'm in South Korea. I just had New Year's in Busan. It was crazy.
Did you take the train?
Yes, I did. Busan. I did take the train to Busan.
How were the zombies?
And there were so many zombies.
I want to watch that movie, but it's not anywhere.
Well, Train to Busan
for like
on Netflix.
I think it's not on the UK Netflix.
Oh fuck! Oh,
but
okay.
Do you know what? I could probably watch it though because I'm sure that Rice has a VPN. So anyway,
it was good. How was your Christmas?
Yeah, it was all right.
Mine was terrible. Big family argument.
Oof.
I won't get into it.
You weren't even there for it.
Yeah, I wasn't even there. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
As always, follow us on Twitter or whatever.
No! Not on Twitter. You can if you want, but I've not checked it in many, many months.
As always, we'll leave you with
oh, I'm so proud.
AI Wars, baby.
Yeah, let's go.
It's the segment, I will explain it this time because I feel like it. It's the segment where we used to give you an Inspirobot, which is a random quote slapped onto a random image.
Yeah.
Then one day I was like, nah, these ain't funny anymore. So I found ImageFlip, which is a generic 2009 meme with random text on it. And as soon as we started counting, we were like, let's pit them up against each other because you stayed loyal. And I was like, nah, fuck that shit. As soon as we started counting, Inspirobot became funny again and ImageFlip kind of sucked.
Fell off.
But I did manage to claw it back because I turned on the not safe for work filter. and it's currently 22 Inspirobot, 20 ImageFlip. Now, as we worked out last week, I could no longer win.
I love how we just didn't realize as well. Like, it just kind of snuck up and we were like, wait a minute.
I can't win. Yeah. So I have to win these last two to earn a draw. Otherwise, Inspirobot is confirmed as the superior AI generated shit. I think I'm pretty sure
I go first this time.
Yeah, I think I went first this time.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I should have written it down, but fuck it.
Yeah. Well, either way, I've got a very artistic looking sort of shot, where it is two hands raising up into the sort of middle of the frame. You've got like a green sort of jumper, like a cardigan or something, and you can see the watch they've got on their on their wrist. You can see the rings on their fingers, and it's all up against this pitch black backdrop, but they're very well lit, so you don't see the person, you just see the arms. So it looks like they're sort of reaching up to something, maybe in a request, like they're praying or they're reaching up to the sky for something. And it just says next to these hands, "Bronies never sleep." You fucking remember bronies, dude?
Man, I remember bronies. And they were like, "Oh my god, no, you don't understand, it's deep lore." It's like, bro, you just want to masturbate to a picture of a horse.
Yeah. Dude, I haven't seen or heard the word brony, I think, since school.
Yeah, man.
Crazy shit.
That's
died off.
Unlocked a deep.
I guess they just got like assimilated into like the furry community or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine is it's the marked safe from thing that we had. It's
like marking your location is.
Yeah, I think it's a Facebook thing. Yeah, so it's like marked safe from something today,
like an event,
blue flag.
Yeah,
but mine says, "Marked safe from hard sex with Mario today."
That feels like something you'd post. That you gotta win that one.
That's good.
Oh man, next the last episode, dude. We're gonna
see. All for.
It's well, all nothing, for a because, draw.
Yeah, all for a draw. I'm going to have to Which send you a picture of this because Discord won't let me paste it for some reason.
Oh, that's weird.
But yeah, hard sex with Mario always wins.
remember that, kids.
but yeah.
That's find about a new the way size to end it. That. I don't want any musical numbers, so we're going to end this one now.
All right, bye.
We'll see you in the very last episode. Yeah. I mean, we may pick it back up eventually.
Oh, yeah, we might pick it back up.
Last for all intents and purposes, it is the very last episode next week.
Yeah, so I'll write a musical number, and we both agree to sing it at the end of the episode.
I did not agree to this.
Yes, you did.
No.
You might have forgotten, but you said you would.
That's fair. All right, bye.
Bye.